everybody, all of you know my, our walk that we've, the family has had. I'm just going to give you the year, the kind of the dates. Stephanie was diagnosed that the cancer had returned in late January of 2024. She moved home to Salisbury because she needed help in January of 25. And she went home to be with the Lord in June of 25. So before her diagnosis, she received a year verse from the Lord. And of course, I've shared that in family ministries. It's Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. When she got the diagnosis, she went back into prayer and she said, I think I got the wrong verse. And the Lord confirmed that that was her verse. But what I didn't know, and only in this year, walking this year without her, it turns out it was our year verse too. And I didn't realize that until later. And I went, oh yeah, I guess, you know, he did. He absolutely, truly made rivers in the desert and the roadway in the wilderness. And it was him, without a doubt. The cancer that she had, we were kind of given a 2 to 5 year range. But we knew, according to all the medical knowledge in the world, that this is incurable. There's not a lot of treatments because it is so rare. But I also knew that we have testimony of the Lord isn't bound by what medicine says. Mm-hmm. So I held out a great deal of hope. I did. Stephanie kept trying to prepare me and I kept saying, nope, it's going to be better than this. It's not going to go like that. But even at the best we could hope for, I knew probably I would see the loss of her. She would not see the loss of me. That it was, you know, that even the best we could hope for, it was going to go that way. It did go against my rule was that I was first, and God laughed, obviously. The emotions, as all of your mother's hearts know, it's strong. It's just, it's, and God gave them to us. So I spent a lot of time in prayer, reading, and stating out loud, you know, God is in complete control. And the prayer that we shared that was Stephanie's prayer, that she came across in one of her devotional studies, you know, always completely good. He desires, you know, I didn't write it down, but I can get it for you. I think I even have it as a picture in my thing. But I just kept saying, if he's in complete control, then he has allowed this for a reason. And I had to go back to, do I trust him? Is this really where we are? And, you know, it's very easy, very quickly, if I don't, where else? I can't go anywhere else. You know, he's proved himself in all these far smaller ways in my life. So I had to stand on that truth. And Romans 8:28, you all know God causes all things to work for good for those who love God, and it goes on from there, but you all know this is, so my heart, my feelings, I'm terrified, I'm scared, I'm broken, I'm angry, And I also realized I wasn't fooling God by trying to keep any of that from him. So he got all of it. Figured he knew, so he did. And that's what he wants. He wanted me to go to him with the anger. And I even made some really good suggestions about how great a testimony this uncurable cancer would be if Stephanie were cured. But anyway, we had such support with her sisters and Alex, and you know, it's tremendous. God gave us emotions, and we're not robots. He gave these to us, so they're okay, but they're not the truth. And that's the first big step. Yes, I was scared and angry and brokenhearted and panicked and whatever else, not wanting to face. But the truth was, God is in control. God only wants what's good for me and for Stephanie and for Alex and, you know, you can name everybody. That's who God is. So you have to stay at that point. And we have to stand on the truth. And, you know, and that's, you don't get off that truth. And I think I described later in my notes, but, you know, I just pictured myself planting, well, if any of you saw Lord of the Rings, one of those shows, Gandalf, the some monster is chasing, and Gandalf, the wizard, stamps
the Balrog.
Yes, the Balrog. Thank you. I didn't take the time. But he stamps his staff on the ground, and he says, "You shall not pass." Well, I took that image, and I stamped that staff in the ground, and I didn't get off that rock. Because even though I'm a mess, I know where the truth is, and I thought, I'm not leaving this spot. This is the truth. And who's kidding whom? We all know nothing good dwells in me, for sure. So I need the Lord. I had to come face to face with truth was truth. An emotion is not truth. It's not wrong, but it's not the truth. This next step that I took was, I realized that there is no way I can do this. I cannot face the loss of Stephanie. Absolutely. I don't want to. I can throw a little four-year-old temper tantrum. I put it all in his hands, and I said, "You're going to have to do it for me, because I don't want to, and I can't. I absolutely can't do it." And a scripture that meant a great deal to me, "The steadfast of mind, you," that's God, "will keep in perfect peace, because he," being me, "trust in you," being God. And I don't know if that's too confusing the way I said it, but it was, if I can keep my mind and just cling, he will keep me in perfect peace. And I describe my emotions. I don't know how to explain it, but it was both. Yes, I was emotional. I was sad, but I was at peace. And I just took the next step. And the next step, and you know, and the learning to care for her, and those kind of things. And anyway, the other comfort: "He who lives in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." So I asked God to take over, that he is going to have to walk this walk for me. I was not going to be able to do it. And Ephesians 6:10-17 is the scripture of the putting on the full armor of God. And what I pulled from it was, yeah, okay, I tried to do all of that, but the reason for the full armor of God is so you will be able to stand. That's all I had to do, was just stand. And Habakkuk, whatever, 3:17-19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of olives should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on high places. I wanted to say something in reference to that. That those are awful things. And I, you know, I can fit in there, though your daughter has cancer and is not doing well. You know, that again, I stand on who the Lord is, and just like I said, I hung on in a storm. I mean, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from us, but our adequacy is from God. And, you know, my thoughts would go to Job, my thoughts would go to Daniel, my thoughts went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and their line that they say, even if God does not deliver, we will not bow down. So, he knows how I feel, he knows how hard it was for me to face, but he still has a plan, and it helped a great deal because of Stephanie's faith, her testimony constantly to us, you know, the reminder of, I'm going to be fine. I said, yes, but when you're fine, I'm not. I pointed that out to her. And we had, you know, in spite of everything, we had a lot of laughs. When I brought up her first drink, the first time she needed a drink, I didn't bring a straw. And she says, Mom, this is caregiving 101. You have to have a bendable straw. I said, oh, okay. So, which is part of why I ended up with a knee, because I did so many stairs, because we did keep her up in the bedroom. I'm not going to go into too much of the physical, what we did and didn't do, but, you know, kind of where I walked with the Lord. And then this one really, this is, how do I say, this is the one that means the most to me, to have come, I can't call it learned, because I will have, I'll cry again, I'll rage, if anything else, you know, difficult happens, I'm going to have to learn this all again, I'm sure, but tribulation is not to be avoided. And that one is tough. If God is in control and I'm leaning on him, what's the next thing? There are two reasons for any of our difficulties. One is for my benefit. I need to learn something, not that I'm doing something wrong and he's correcting me. It's he's trying to teach me something. If I have mismanaged my money, I'm going to be in financial, you know, tight until I can learn how to manage better. I remember one woman teaching a Bible study. She was an alcoholic for many years before she came to the Lord. And she said, I have cirrhosis of the liver. It's a consequence of the, you know, she's still redeemed. She's still worshiping the Lord in heaven by now. But it's for our benefit. Yes. And the Romans 5:3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. So this past year and a half, well, the previous year and a half, the opportunity, I use that term loosely, but gave me a chance to seek God in a very, very different way than any other time. You know, I have no trouble praying for others. I have no trouble praying, you know, for things in the world and in our lives. But this was different. And, you know, it was not a wrestling, because I tried desperately not to fight him. I tried to learn as quickly as I could. Anyway. The second thing that came to me is this quote, horrible thing that we went through was for others. And my neighbor alone still says, I just don't know how you did it. And she doesn't know the Lord. She thinks she does. But anyway, and I just keep pointing her back to, it wasn't me, Sue. What you saw, you're right. I can't do it. I already know that. The Second Corinthians, I just pulled one verse out of Second Corinthians, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we suffer. And that doesn't say all that I wanted to pull from it, but Ed Miller did a study on 2 Corinthians. I think he started when he moved here, 1 and 2 Corinthians, maybe were the first two books that he taught on at the Del Mar Diner. But 2 Corinthians, I just remember resonating with me because it was all of our troubles. Everything that doesn't go right is for a reason, and it's for somebody else. And we're the lamb that goes to be sacrificed, because it's so much more important to the Lord that somebody come to him and see him. And, you know, and so Isaiah 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and make it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire. And 1 Peter 1, 6. I don't know how I wrote that. Anyway, it's 1 Peter, and it might be chapter 6, verse 7, or it might be 1, 7. I didn't type it right. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, and I hung on that. There was a reason. Again, I'm back to, if necessary, well, that must have been necessary. You have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, just the starting of that, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you. Marcia created a playlist of songs, and she entitled it, I Believe, Help My Unbelief. And over the, we often had that playing in the room, in the background, and Julie, Marcia, and I sat there, because if Stephanie would wake up, we would have a chance to talk with her. And most of the time she slept. But there were two songs that at least one I would never in a million years have gravitated to hearing. It was a little bit harder rock than I would like, except for the words. And it's a Brandon Lake song called Hard Fought Hallelujah. And the chorus, the chorus says, I'll bring my hard fought, heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail, story to tell, hallelujah. And, that was the first song I really grabbed a hold of. And I thought, that's how I feel. I'm fighting desperately to please the Lord, to accept what we're going to have to face. And then still hoping that he would take 2 or 3 years to make that happen. The other song that we've sung in Family Ministries, and I think it's more my taste, is Christ Be Magnified in Me. And when I heard that again, that was what I wanted, was that he would be seen, that he would know. I have to do without her for a while, but I really want what the Lord wants from that. And I wanted to do everything because I had to give her up for a while, only for a while. And that's part of next. Death is not our enemy. We feel like it is. Our bodies naturally try to make sense out of. But as I have a friend, I still have her. She's with the Lord. She was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's. And, I started crying. And she said, Diane, heaven is our goal. Heaven is the big prize. We win when we get to heaven. That's where this is not to be dreaded. It's not. And God doesn't see things the way we do. His ways are higher than our ways, I read earlier. Death is not the enemy. It's a doorway. Stephanie's in another room right now. That's all. She's still alive. I still have 3 daughters. I really haven't lost her. I just can't go see her right now, and she can't call me, and she doesn't write, and all those things she's supposed to be doing. But I have 3 daughters still. She's alive. I just can't see her for a while. And that, it really makes a difference when I realize that she used to, when she was working, she lived in Hatboro. I would go months without seeing her, and it wasn't a crying situation. And this is a little bit longer, probably, but she's still alive. I have not lost her. Death isn't what we view it as, because she didn't die, for starters,
And death, where is thy sting?
Yeah.
Grave, where is thy victory?
Exactly. And so if you take nothing else from this, you need to know that your heart right now can't do it. Well, you can't do it, period. If you have to face something horrific, you will be given what you need. God will be there with you. Yes, you'll question your faith. Yes, you'll speak up. You'll say, well, do I really trust you, Lord? Or is this really what we need? But he can handle that. It's not anything that he is. He's not upset. He doesn't feel like you failed. And the second thing will remain a mystery if I can't separate these 2 pages. Emotions are okay, but stand on the truth. There we are. Heart, heart, heart.